Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, coming to you from Kenya, Mumias, Kenya, out on the west border of Kenya near Uganda. And I thank you for the opportunity to come today to present the gospel to you and for the opportunity from the Lord Jesus to speak on his behalf. And so we're going to be looking at some passages of scripture today from the book of Acts. And we're going to start in Acts chapter 2. This was the time that was prophesied by the prophet Joel back in the Old Testament. Joel said that the Holy Spirit would be poured out in the latter days on all mankind. And so that day has come. It's the day of Pentecost, 10 days after Jesus was taken up into heaven. In the presence of the disciples, he was taken up into heaven, and just as he disappeared with the angels told the disciples, he will be coming back. Just as you saw him go, he will be returning. And so, beloved, that day is coming when Jesus is going to come back. That day is coming when he is going to return to gather up his church and rapture the church out of here. And so I encourage you to be ready and to be strengthened, and knowing that this life that we have on this earth is just a passing life. It's like a vapor, it's like a smoke in the wind, and your real life is to know Jesus and to be ready for him to return and to be ready to live with him for all eternity. Well, again, in the second chapter of Acts, this is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. When Joel said that the Spirit would be poured out on all mankind, and Jesus said to the disciples, wait for what has been promised to you, what the Father has promised to you, wait, and it will be coming. And so they waited 10 days in Jerusalem, and the time of Pentecost, they were waiting, they were praying, they were in anticipation, they were in expectation, and the Holy Spirit then was poured out just like it had been promised. And in verse 1, chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, let's go back to verse 1 and look at that just a little bit. They were in one accord, it tells us, and there was approximately 120 people in that upper room when the Holy Spirit was poured out. They were praying, they were in expectation, but it's very important to notice they were with one accord. In other words, they were there for a purpose that was singular. They were dedicated. They were committed. They were devoted. They were not distracted. They were not playing around with their cell phones, looking on Facebook and all that stuff that people do in churches nowadays. And they were looking for the coming of the Holy Spirit as it had been promised by Jesus. And they were in prayer. They were in anticipation and expectation. And so that is a lesson for us. And there was no dissension among them. I read into this one accord that they were loving each other, that they were forgiving of each other, that they had brotherly and sisterly love toward each other. They were in one mind and one purpose to receive what the Father had promised for them. And beloved, if you want to receive more from the Lord, if you want to move forward in your kingdom walk, you have to get in singular purpose. You have to get focused on the Lord, focused on your walk with him. Spend some time in prayer. Spend some time in fasting. Spend time in Bible study. Spend time in fellowship. Spend time in worship. And if you do those things, if you get in one accord, even with the Holy Spirit, one accord with God, you will be blessed. He will pour out upon you blessings so much that you can't even hold it all. And also, if you're fasting and praying with other people, if you're in a group that is fasting and praying together, it is a wonderful thing. It is an encouraging exercise to get with other people, to pray and fast with them, I've done it many, many times, fasted and prayed with other groups, both present with them in the flesh and also through emails or through the internet. And so you can do that and be in one accord with them and be in expectation. And when you do that, then the blessings of God will be poured out upon you. So they were with one accord together, and there came from heaven a rushing mighty wind, the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and then there was tongues of fire, and each one of those tongues of fire sat on each one of those persons in that room. And so that's a lesson for us. Every single person received. None were left out. Many people say, well, I can't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I can't have the gift of tongues. I can't have the gift of prophecy. I can't have this. I can't have that. Well, in this situation, and I believe according to your faith in any situation, you can have the gifts that God desires for you and the gifts that God wants to give you, because he is not running short of them. He is not stingy. He's not miserly. And I grant you that all people don't speak in tongues, all don't prophesy, all don't perform miracles, but there is an opportunity and an expectation that can be met when you believe these things are for you. And if you've accepted teaching in the past that tongues are not valid anymore, that prophecy is not valid, that God no longer does miracles, that God no longer does healing, and that there's no discernment of spirits, and there's no word of wisdom, no word of knowledge, all of those gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you've accepted the teaching that for some reason we don't need those anymore, that for some reason they aren't applicable today, that God doesn't care about dispersing those gifts today like he did 2,000 years ago, if you have accepted that teaching, then that is going to be a hindrance to you. It will hinder you, and it will block you from receiving everything that God wants you to receive. And so if you have a desire to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, if you have a desire to have the gift of tongues, to have the gift of prophecy, to be able to perform miracles in the name of Jesus, if you have a desire to do that, just rid your mind of all teaching and get into the second chapter of Acts, get into the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, get into the Bible, and get your mind cleared of a lot of denominational and man's teaching, and get it filled up with what God's word says, that every single person in that room, every single person received the baptism of fire. Every single person had a tongue of fire sitting on their head, and it instilled in them the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it instilled in them the fire to go out and be witnesses for Jesus, just as he told them that it would in chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. He said, you will be my witnesses. You will receive power. You will receive power to be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And so, beloved, if you have a desire to be a witness for Jesus Christ in the remote part of the earth, or even in Jerusalem, that is your local neighborhood, your local place, if you have a desire to do that, God is so much for you. God is so much pleased with that. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. God is not a man that he should lie. He doesn't offer promises. He doesn't offer gifts and then play tricks with us about them and try to deceive us and trick us and somehow bait and switch. That is not God. Those are man's games. God does not do that. God is not a man that he should lie, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And so they were all filled, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, you can see the evidence of the receiving or the reception of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of the reception of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. And this is doctrinal bedrock. I didn't make this up. We just read it. the evidence of reception of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that is represented by the fire is the speaking of tongues. And so just as John the Baptist had prophesied about Jesus in Matthew 3:11, and it appears in every one of the Gospels, this passage of Scripture then is the fulfillment of all the prophecies about tongues. It's the fulfillment of all the prophecies about the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist in Matthew 3:11 said, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but there is one coming after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And so Jesus Christ is the baptizer. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. And so when you desire to receive, he is more than capable and more than willing to give you that baptism of fire. Well, in verse 5, it says then that there was dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, that is the sound of the mighty rushing wind and the tongues of fire, when this sound occurred, the multitude came together, and they were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans?" In other words, the people in the upper room, they were all from Jesus' hometown or his home locality, which was in Galilee, which was way north of Jerusalem. And so they said, "These people are speaking in languages that we can understand, and yet they're all Galileans." And so they were amazed, and they were saying to one another, "How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?" Okay, then there was a listing of men from 16 different countries, or approximately that many countries, that were present in Jerusalem in that day, and they were all hearing in their own language the words that were spoken by these Galileans. And so that was the confusing part to them. They couldn't understand how these Galileans could know all of these diverse languages that were represented in that place in that day. And so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What could this mean?" And others were mocking, and they were saying, "Well, these Galileans are full of new wine." In other words, they were accusing them of being drunk. And verse 14, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel.'" And so Peter was familiar, of course, with the what we would call the Old Testament scriptures. To him, it was just the book of the law and the Old Testament, the scroll of the law. And so he was familiar with what the prophet Joel had said. He was familiar with the prophecy about the coming of the Holy Spirit, and also he was putting that together with what Jesus had told them in teaching and what Jesus had told them 10 days before he ascended to heaven. And Peter is putting two and two together, and he's saying, "This is what has happened." And he tells the people this was the prophecy spoken by Joel. And then he goes on in verse 17, Acts 2, "And it came to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord." And verse 21, "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so that is the prophecy that was spoken by Joel. Peter repeats it to explain to all these people from all these different nations. What is happening here is a fulfillment of prophecy. It's a fulfillment of not only the prophetic words that Joel has spoken, but also that John the Baptist and many others through the ages had spoken. And so then Peter says, "Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, him, that is Jesus, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death." And verse 24, "And God raised up, having loosed the pains of death," or broken the pains of death, or the bonds of death, "because it was not possible that he should be held by it." And so Jesus was crucified by these same people, the Jews who were in Jerusalem, with the help, you might say, or the cooperation of the Roman authorities. Jesus was crucified, but Peter said that God raised him up. He broke the bonds or the chains of death, and that he will not be held by it. And then Peter goes on to speak a prophecy about how David had prophesied that the coming Messiah would come and then sit at the right hand of God. And so Peter is basically speaking or preaching the first evangelism message before a mass audience. Peter is basically preaching this evangelism message to these people from many different nations, to these Jews who were there to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. And so he is taking advantage of this situation, because the prophecy said, "All those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved." And so Peter is evangelizing to take advantage of this Holy Spirit that has been poured out to capitalize on this situation. That is a very unique situation that had never happened before on the face of the earth, and had never happened in Jerusalem. And so this fulfillment of prophecy then was fulfilled as Peter spoke to these people, "All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So he gave these people an opportunity to call upon the name of the Lord. And beloved, this is still to this very day, because God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so even this very day, when I preach the Crusades, or anybody preaches the Crusades, and you present the glorious message of the gospel, you present the glorious message that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when you speak that, and when you give people the good news of the gospel, and you give them an opportunity to make a decision, beloved, it is a wonderful, glorious thing to watch people come to the altar, to shed tears and to repent and turn from their wicked ways and say, "Yes, Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to love you. I want to know you. I want to give my life to you. I repent of my sins." When you see that happening, beloved, it is the most glorious thing that can ever happen here on this earth. And if you have never made that decision yourself, if you've never put yourself in that place where you have come forward and said, "Jesus, I want to know you, I want to serve you, I want to repent of my sins and make you the Lord and the master of my life," if you've never done that, you can do that today. Get down on your knees, repent of your sins, ask the Lord to forgive you, and say, "Jesus, I repent of my sins, I turn from my wicked ways. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Beloved, God keeps his promises. Jesus keeps his promises. You will be saved when you call upon the name of the Lord. And follow it up with Christian baptism, immersion baptism. Get into a good Bible-believing church and get yourself a Bible. Get your nose into it and start reading. And accept the fact that God loves you, he has a plan for you, and the start of your Christian walk is just that. It's a start when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Well, this passage of Scripture in Acts 2 is a wonderful, wonderful passage of scripture. I recommend you read the whole chapter over and over, and you will learn about everything you need to know about the church, about the beginning church. It doesn't look anything like many of the churches in America or any other place in the world today. Many churches have drifted away from the model, from the pattern that was presented here in the second chapter of Acts. But even so, you get your Bible out and read this passage over and over, and you will know what the first church looked like. And in Acts 37, chapter 2, verse 37, when Peter finished preaching this first evangelism gospel message, he said, verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." And then in verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Well, the gift comes after the repentance. The gift comes after receiving Jesus Christ, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is the baptizer, and he will pour out his Spirit upon you, and his Spirit, then also the Holy Spirit, he will pour out upon you as a fulfillment of this prophetic word. Verse 39, "For the promise is to you and to your children." That's us. We're the children of those who were there on that day. "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Well, beloved, again, it is a wonderful, glorious thing to see people come forward at the altar, at the crusades. I'm going to be preaching a crusade in Butere, not too far from here in Kenya, Butere, Kenya, about an hour from Mumias, my home here. And so I pray that many, many will come to know the Lord Jesus. It's out in a rural area, in an interior area, and it's out in the middle of nowhere, and there's some churches around, but God is focusing on this area. He's focused on this locality. The grace of God, we're going to be able to lead many people, give them the good news of the gospel, and let them come forward and say, "All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, then it tells us that 3,000 people came to know the Lord Jesus. Verse 40, "And with many words, Peter testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' And then those who received his word were baptized that day, and about 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom." And so 3,000 people came to know the Lord Jesus that day. 3,000 people had their sins washed away that day. And God is still doing the very same thing today. Jesus Christ loves you. He cares about you. You don't have to get cleaned up. You don't have to make all the changes in your life that you would like to see before you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. All you have to do is say yes. And Jesus, I want to confess I'm a sinner and I need saved. I need to be reconciled back to God. And Jesus said, "Praise God, that's why I went to the cross, was to shed my precious blood for you, that you can be saved, that your sins could be forgiven, that your sins could be washed away." And so just as 3,000 came to know the Lord that day, each and every day, all across the world, people are still coming to the Lord Jesus in the very same way, in the very same manner. They recognize they are a sinner. They recognize that they need their sins cleansed, that they can be reconciled back to God. The Holy Spirit has convinced them or convicted them of sin, of righteousness and judgment. And so they come to the Lord Jesus with the expectation that he can cleanse their sins. And he is faithful and true to do that and to cleanse us all of our unrighteousness. Well, it says then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. I'm not going to preach on that today, but that is what the New Testament church is founded on. is the teaching, the doctrine, the apostles' doctrine, and the fellowship in the breaking of bread, that is communion, and in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And so that is the sign of a good fellowship. That is a good sign that signs, wonders, and miracles are following. Everywhere Jesus goes, he was a miracle worker, and the Holy Spirit and Jesus and Father God are still miracle workers. They can work a miracle in your life. They can work a miracle in my life. And any who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. And what a glorious passage of scripture. I urge you to read it over and over to give you encouragement and to strengthen you in your walk. And when you desire to walk with the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the power that comes with knowing Jesus Christ and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when you desire to walk with that, beloved, you are walking on a glorious path. You are walking in a place that God wants you to walk. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We invite you to support this ministry. Sit down, write us out a check, send it to Box 92. Contact information will be coming up here in just a minute, but we would like to hear from you. Send us a letter. Tell us what you like about these broadcasts. Give us some encouragement. I'm coming to you again from Africa. We have crusades coming up. I ask for your prayers for those crusades and for the other work, the children's home and other things that we are doing here in Africa. And so I invite your support. I invite your prayers. And I thank you for those who have participated with us and come alongside us. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Have a great week.